And he's given us the great privilege of sharing the good news, the great news of what he has done for each one of us. Before we start, I would just like to pray with you one more time, asking God's Holy Spirit to be present. Dear Heavenly Father, may the words that come out of my mouth be acceptable to you. May they share with us, above all, how much you love us. We invite your Holy Spirit to be present. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We want to continue looking at tools of evangelism. Yes. Okay. There it is. Thank you. That's my wife, by the way. Four tools of evangelism. Tactful persuasion. She persuaded me. How many of you thought of getting married when you were 6 or 7 or 8 or 9? How many of you thought, no, I'm not getting married at all, never? Yeah, I can see those hands. But something happened. And I was 24 and I was still thinking, I'm not getting married. My mom and grandma were like, oh, we better start praying. I was 27 and, no, mom, I'm not getting married. 30, no, I'm not getting married. And I found somebody who was thinking the same thing, my wife. No, I'm not getting married. And we were able to persuade each other to making that decision. We have two new neighbors, two cats who moved into the neighborhood. We're not supposed to have any pets in our apartments. And so all of a sudden we have two cats and they daily persuade us to feed them. 6 a.m., meow, does the round through all the neighborhood. And then all of a sudden our hearts go like, wow, they must be really hungry. We should give them something. And we have a little plate out there and all the neighbors kind of just from time to time put some food into the plate. And these little animals, they share their need in a very persuasive way, in a very, I would say, tactful way too. And we are invited to do likewise, to share an amazing message in a loving way. That's what motivates people, isn't it, brothers and sisters? That's what really encourages us. Nobody wants to be forced to accept something as true. Nobody wants to be manipulated or deceived into doing anything. If we make the decision to do something, it's because we believe it's the right thing. And those who are asking us to do something, they're doing it out of love for us, because they want the best for us. And I find in Scripture Paul's example. As we read in scripture reading, we actually have been going through these four tools: fervent prayer, power of the Holy Spirit, personal effort, and now tactful persuasion. And these are all important tools that we can use in order to share the good news. And we want to look at these examples found in Scripture. Acts chapter 13, verse 42 through 44. Acts chapter 26, verse 28. Both of these have an example of Paul and how he used persuasion, how he shared the gospel powerfully to those who heard him in his time. And ultimately, we're going to go to the best example of all, Jesus Christ, who shared with his disciples, with those who would come out to hear him, words that would encourage them, motivate them to do the right thing. So we'll look at Acts chapter 13, verses 42 through 44, as it was read. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Wow, imagine if I would be at the door out there while everybody's shaking my hand at the end of the sermon, and they would say, "Pastor, preach that sermon again next Sabbath." Wow. I said, those words must have been really good. They must have been persuasive. And that's what they were asking Paul to do. Next Sabbath, preach to us the same words you just shared. And what was Paul preaching with so much power? Jesus Christ, the Messiah from Scripture. He went to the prophets. He went to the law to preach about his Lord and Savior. He taught both Greek and Jews the amazing love of God to a dying world. And as they heard these words, the text tells us in verse 43, "Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." And the following Sabbath, it wasn't just the synagogue that came out to hear these words. Almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Paul knew that in this book, the Bible, there's a message that can give us life because it had given him life. He had found in Scripture the perfect description of God's amazing love and presented Jesus as the gift of God to humanity. And people came out because they wanted to know. They wanted to study. They were being persuaded to continue in the grace of God. Do you want to be persuaded to continue in the grace of God? I want to be persuaded. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. We find these words, Acts chapter 26, verse 27 through 29. And to give you the context, Paul was now a prisoner. He was being sent back to Rome. He was in front of two government officials. One of them was King Agrippa, and the other one was Festus. And he was there standing with them in chains because of the gospel. And he again shared with them words of persuasion. And this time, he included his own testimony, how he had once been a persecutor of Christians, how he had given permission to put them to death, how he had given permission to put them in jail. And Paul, speaking to these government officials, said, "One day I had an encounter with Jesus. I found him. I was on the way to Damascus. I can remember that day. I saw a light. And from that light, I heard a voice that I had never heard before. And the question, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' And Saul, hearing that voice, said, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus, in a very merciful, compassionate, loving way, revealed his name to him. And when Festus heard this, he said, "Paul, you're out of your mind. What are you saying here? You should be defending yourself. You're getting yourself into more trouble. This is exactly why you are here in front of us." But Paul wasn't afraid to share what was in his heart. And King Agrippa, we find, said the following. Actually, Paul said this to King Agrippa: "Do you believe the prophets?" And then he answered his own question: "I know that you do believe." And then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost what, brothers and sisters? Persuade me to become a Christian." What a testimony. "Paul, you're making me think. I had never seen that before from Scripture. I had never seen that kind of a change in a person. But you almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." Boy, if you would know, if you would experience God's amazing love, it's worth dying for. It's worth living for. And I asked myself the question, where did Paul learn this? Did he go to school to be a persuasive speaker? Did he learn it from his teachers? Did he learn it from his synagogue? And I believe that Paul learned it from Jesus. In John chapter 7, verse 45 through 47, we find this testimony. "Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, 'Why have you not brought him? We told you to go get Jesus and bring him back to us. Why didn't you obey our orders?' And the officers answered, 'No man ever spoke like this man.'" No man ever spoke like this man. How did Jesus speak? We can say he spoke with love. He spoke with grace. He spoke with patience. He spoke with joy. He spoke with kindness. Are those words we like to hear, brothers and sisters? In fact, that's what we were studying during our Sabbath school lesson: the power of words to influence toward good or toward bad. And Jesus' words were always motivating those who were listening to do what is right, to do what is good. And the reason why I believe Jesus' words and Paul's words were so powerful, first of all, is because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? These were men of prayer. They put in everything they had to share this amazing message. But the power that they had was because they also loved those who they spoke to. We've heard the saying, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And Jesus, everywhere he went, he let people know how much he cared. In fact, as Pastor Jeff and I were thinking about this series, Four Tools of Evangelism, we shared a quote from the book, Ministry of Healing. How many have read the book, Ministry of Healing? Incredible book, powerful book by Ellen G. White. A book that motivates us to go out and to share the good news. And in this book, we find this quote on page 143. The world needs today what it needed 1900 years ago. It hasn't changed. A revelation of Christ. A great work of reform is demanded, and it is only through the grace of Christ that the work of restoration, physical, mental, and spiritual, can be accomplished. Where does that work take place, brothers and sisters? In others or in me? In me. What Paul was doing in front of King Agrippa and Justus, he was revealing Christ to them. Christ's love to them. And that is the same need today. After 1900 years, it has not changed. The quote continues saying, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, won their confidence, their trust. Then he bade them follow me. Is that something we can do, brothers and sisters? Can we mingle with people? Come close to people? Haven't you noticed that we usually let people come close to us who we trust? Those are the people we let come close to us. And Jesus was not afraid to come close to us. Amen? He came close and he shared that he wants the best for each one of us. He desires our good. He saw our need and he said, I can do something about that. He cared for us. And then, once he had done all these things, he won our confidence. And then he bade us, come follow me. There is a need of coming close to the people by personal effort. The poor are to be relieved, the sick cared for, the sorrowing and bereaved comforted, the ignorant instructed, the inexperienced counseled. And then there's this quote from Scripture. We are to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Empathy, sympathy, love. Isn't that what motivates us all? And that's exactly what Jesus shared with his disciples, and he shared specifically also with Paul. At the end of this quote, we find accompanied by the power of persuasion, the power of prayer, the power of the love of God. This work will not, cannot be without fruit. Accompanied with the power of persuasion, the power of prayer, the power of the love of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, this work will have fruit. Do you want to speak persuasively to your neighbors and friends? I do. I ask God, help me. But in order for me to do that, I need his love, don't I? I need it. I need to know his scriptures. I need a personal experience with him in order to speak persuasively to those I see, to those I visit, to those we come across. And I believe God is inviting each one of us in these days, in these times, and not just because we're having an evangelistic meeting. Amen. This is something we want to do every day, correct? We want to share Jesus beyond the time of our evangelistic meeting. And the only way we could do this, brothers and sisters, is we can say, God, I need more of that love. I need it because I want to care about people when I approach them. I want their best desire. I want to help them with their needs. I want to do what you did for me. Will God hear that prayer, brothers and sisters? God will hear that prayer. And today we're celebrating something special. We're celebrating communion. Time where we come together. And if there's something that the world is dying to see, God's people coming together and loving one another. Amen? They will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Is that possible? That's possible. Only if we keep our eyes on Jesus, who gave it all for us, who was willing to come to this earth, live among us, present to us the great truths of Scripture. But then he was willing to take my place, Greg, on that cross. I'll die for Sam. And he was willing to take your place, Dan, on that cross. And Martin, Linda, Daniel. He was willing to take our place. Why? Because he loves us. That's what motivated him. And we can share that with others. Amen? We don't only live here, but we can live with him eternally if we accept his sacrifice for us. Thank you, Samuel, for sharing special music. And we all make that choice, a choice to follow Jesus, that man with those hands, with scars, because of what we did, not because of something he did. But he went to that cross to give us life and life eternal. Amen.